This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic Thursday. About to talk about paid protests here. We're going to discuss, because we have a great example, we're going to discuss why they love violent crime. We'll do that, emails, a lot more in this second hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. And don't forget, tomorrow's Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and get your questions emailed in now to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. First, there was a story out there. Well, there's a company. It's called Crowds on Demand. And the name probably gives it away. What do? They provide a crowd. Now, let's pause for a second here and explain why that matters, because it's going to really matter for our purposes. People want to go where other people are. It's human nature. Did you know that restaurants, when a restaurant is opening or wants a little boost in something, did you know that restaurants are known to do this? They will hire people to fill up the restaurant and wait outside in line. It works. Look, I bet you money that exact tactic has worked on me multiple times, because when I'm hungry and I'm looking for food and I see a crowd, I say to myself, well, that's where I'm going. Clearly, all those people must know something. They're not all in line for nothing. The crowd tells me it's good. And by the way, restaurants aren't the only ones that do this. It's one of the best examples I can think of. Crowds speak to people. They do. If you see a picture of a band, and they it's one of those pictures where the band is taking a picture from the stage looking out at the crowd, and it's 15 people in the crowd, looks bad, looks lame. But you see one of those pictures, you know, Metallica playing at a football stadium, and there's 70,000 people there going crazy. Even if you're not a huge Metallica fan, you think to yourself, man, that would be sweet. Hey, maybe we should go. Crowds do affect the human psyche. Yours, mine, they just do. Communists have always understood that. But remember this. Remember, communism's never popular. It's just not. It's a sick, demonic religion of destruction. It's never going to have widespread popularity. So if you don't have widespread popularity, you have to appear to have widespread popularity, because people follow crowds. Remember, hey, Chris, grab that audio of those two morons at Columbia during the Palestinian protests where they were asking why you're there. I'm not really sure, but this is something communists have used. They used it all the time in West Germany. They would pay, you know, the communists were in East Germany. They would pay to have protests in West Germany. They would, of course, go to college campuses. That's where you find the most commies. And they would rev up these protests on college campuses. But you don't need everybody. Pay enough people to bring out a little bit of a crowd that can grow into a bigger crowd, which could grow into a bigger crowd. Always the appearance of popularity. That is huge for them. They do it all the time, and they know it. This guy, CEO of Crowds on Demand, he came out and said the communists offered him $20 million to do anti-Trump demonstrations. Why? I mean, surely everybody hates Trump, right? I mean, that's what you have to sell anyway. You have to sell that people are very unhappy. People are dying. People hate the Trump administration. But that's not really true. So if it's not true, you need the appearance of it being true. It's very, very, very effective. Very effective. Oh, yeah, that's a good one, Chris, by the way. Remember all the Doge protests? Remember what Doge was? Doge was Elon Musk. He gets in there, Department of Government Efficiency, and he's going to find these horribly wasteful, fraudulent things in the government. He's going to stop it. Well, who's against that? I mean, even a Democrat, if you isolate it, take Elon's name out of it, take Trump's name out of it, and you ask a Democrat, hey, do you think the government should be taking your money to create trannies in Zimbabwe? Even a Democrat in a private moment would probably say, probably not. So why were there all these protests? Hey, Chris, play it.
Yeah, I get paid to be out here.
You get paid to be out here?
Yeah.
Amazing. It's just some pack.
You really are getting paid for this?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Oh,
definitely. 100% I'm getting paid for this.
Communist protests in America, you've had to endure them for years and years and years. No matter how old you are, you have watched the street animals vandalize, riot, protest, vandalize, riot, protest. And maybe you've said to yourself at one point in time, how are there that many people that have that kind of energy? How are there this many people that do this? They're always paid and organized. And they're paid and organized with the hopes that they will create a crowd. And that the crowd will just naturally attract other people. And it did. You saw this actually during St. George Floyd. Do you know how many of those people who were looting and rioting and burning things, how many of those people were actually angry about perceived racial injustice in the country? A tiny, tiny, tiny percent. A lot of people just wanted a new set of Jordans from Foot Locker. A lot of people. Remember, this was during COVID. You're sitting around the burbs, you're safe, you're bored. Ah, man, I heard there's a couple thousand people marching on City Hall. We could go. Let's grab some sandwiches, head down, do a little rioting. Sounds like a good time. People follow crowds, and communists know this. All right. Let's do some more emails. Jesse. Oh, Apache Death Cave. Hey, Jesse, you were just what a subject line for an email. You were just talking about how commie Democrats always want to blather about evil America and how Indians were such peaceful people. Here's a fun fact. There's a place outside of Flagstaff, Arizona called Two Guns. In the 1890s, a group of two dozen Apache wiped out two Navajo villages and kidnapped two young girls. When the Navajo found them in a cave, they told the Apache that they could surrender if they returned the girls. The Apache said they had already been killed. The Navajo stuffed the cave entrance with shrubbery and burned them all to death. So much for the Indians living in harmony with nature and smoking peyote in the peace pipe. Okay, first, I'm kind of an Apache fan. You know, let me clarify. I like Indian tribes. I have always been fascinated by various tribal peoples of everywhere. And our own homegrown American Indians fascinate me. I like to learn about them. I find the way of life to be fascinating. And I find the different tribes fascinating. And there are some tribes, obviously, there were many, many peaceful tribes, many tribes who were almost universally warlike. That was all they did. When you have a Comanche, someone like that, they were a warlike people. The Lakota, the Sioux, you would probably know them at. There were many different kinds, but they were a very warlike people. They believed in war. What I'm about to say is, I'm not sure it's going to come across the right way, but I don't always view the warlike tribes as being bad and the peaceful tribes as being good. I'm not saying the warlike tribes didn't do some bad things. Of course they did, but there's always a place for war too. There's a place for peace. I don't really look at it as good or bad. When it comes to the Apache, remember the Apache, they were raiders and slave traders. Man, did that rhyme, and that was sweet. They were raiders and slave traders, big time, mainly with the Mexicans. They would kidnap Mexicans, and they would sell them into slavery. And the Mexicans, by the way, they did the same thing to the Apache. They would raid, kidnap them, sell them into slavery. What was it? I think it was Geronimo, if I remember right, had one of the all-time quotes, and I'm going to mess this up a little bit, I believe, but it was, I think, from his deathbed. Geronimo, the great Apache war chief, Geronimo, he was asked, you know, hey, do you, all this death, all this war, all this stuff, do you have any regrets? And he said, yeah, I wish I'd killed more Mexicans. They really did not get along. But there are all kinds of different tribes all over the place. But yes, of course, the narrative your social studies teacher taught you, that they were just one with the land until the evil white man came along. Oh, shut up. They were killing each other over the land all the freaking time. You were always killing each other over something, just like all human beings do. There's not some higher plane of people just because they were less technologically advanced. That's not how it works at all. Now, speaking of technology, let me do this email. Hey, Jesse, tonight I did my first Chef IQ of marinated pork tenderloin with little potatoes, sliced sweet peppers, red onions diced, minced garlic, Italian parsley, and chives. Ooh, topped off with a bit of Evo and an Italian spice cooked to a perfect medium rare 145 degrees Fahrenheit. It's amazing that the IQ shows the oven temperature, the meat internal temperature, estimates the time done, and gives the time to take it out and rest while it continues to cook. I bought the 3-probe set with your promotion discount. Well worth the money. My big question for Chef Jesse is, have you ever used all 3 probes at the same time? No. It intimidates me. I know I should. I use the double. I prefer the double. I started out with the double before I even knew there was a triple. I know I should use the triple, but I'm afraid. Either way, chefiq.com code Jesse saves you 15%. Emails next.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a great Thursday. I feel like it's going to be a good weekend and a good week. I also feel, tell me if you feel this. I feel like there's a big story that's going to come slamming down tomorrow. Don't look at me like that, Chris. Why do you look at me like that? It feels like we're on the cusp of something, and I can't put it into words what it is. What, Chris? What? Chris said, is it because there's no major news today? No, it's not that. I don't know. I have a feeling. I have a sense, if you will. Have you ever seen or read about a gentleman named Spider-Man? How he could sense when there's danger and his weird looking arm hair would stand up? That's what I'm like when it comes to political news. You can call me Spider Jesse. And I think, telling you, I think there's something coming. Anyway, let's talk about something. Something we've discussed before about violent crime and why Democrats love it, why communists love it. And they do. George Soros and many, many others have spent a fortune to take over the district attorney position in multiple cities across America, New York, LA, so many others, Pittsburgh. They spend this huge amount of money to get in the district attorney they want and other politicians. It's not just DAs, it's judges and things like that. And they start letting criminals off easy. Sometimes they let them off scot-free. They campaign to have these guys released from jail. And for norms and normas, the normies out there, they don't understand. And of course, the GOP is so pathetic and stupid at messaging, they started calling them soft on crime DAs when that's not what they are at all. They're not soft on crime. They're pro-crime. They are pro-murder, pro-rape, pro-robbery, pro-assault. It's what they want. when they take a career criminal with a rap sheet as long as a CVS receipt and they turn him loose from jail, they understand full well he's going to go out and hurt somebody else. And when he does, they're not all, whoa, I can't believe he would. I thought he'd changed. They wanted him to. But what people struggle with is, why? Even if you're on the left, you want women to get raped? That's so demonic. Why would you want that? Here's why. Violent crime. It does some violence in general. It does something unique to the human psyche. This is how we're created. If I told you right now that the next time you left the house, you were going to have the worst time. You were going to get a flat tire. After you got the flat tire, you were going to get to a store and all your credit cards were going to get declined. And then when you left the store, you would get stuck behind a train. And then there would be a terrible car wreck ahead of you and you would be stuck in traffic for 3 hours. Okay, so if I just laid all that out for you, that would suck. And you would leave the house knowing, okay, this is going to suck, but I'll get through it. Now, think about that mentality, what I just told you, versus this mentality. The next time you leave the house, when you're walking through the parking lot, a bad man is going to bash you over the face with a club, and he's going to break your arm, and he's going to steal your wallet and punch all your teeth out. How's your mentality now? Not good. Violence creates in people, everybody, we're all like this, creates in people a different kind of fear, a palpable kind of fear, a fear so great that human instinct oftentimes is, I will avoid that at any cost. Whatever it takes to avoid that, I will do it. For most people, if I told them you're going to get the flat tire and you're going to get your credit cards declined and you're going to get stuck in traffic, they may delay going out. But at some point in time, all right, I got to go out. You'll go out. But if I were to tell you that scenario number two, all your teeth knocked out, broken arm, beaten over the face, many people would never leave their home again if they knew that would happen the next time they went out. The communist has always understood that. In the Soviet Union, they not only opened up the prisons, they opened up the prisons and then they had judges protect the violent criminals they just let out of prison. In fact, if you stopped a violent criminal, they would prosecute you and not the violent criminal. Did you think what's taking place here in America is new or unique? Communists always use the same techniques in creating the fear of violence inside of people. It helps them. It helps them because human beings, when faced with the prospect, the potential of violence, human beings will agree to things they never would otherwise agree to. That scenario, you're going to go out, get beaten, get your teeth knocked out. If I could make that situation go away for $500, would you give it to me? I just extorted you for $500. Of course you would. Most people would. That's how it works. I have a great audio example of this in a moment. Before I do that, memories are everything. That is something that I have learned over the years. It's probably why we're not big on stuff, you know, boats and jet skis. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I love that stuff. But we are huge on creating memories as a family. Today, this morning, first thing, we got up, went on a nice long hike together. Then we went out to breakfast. That's a memory. We even took a big family selfie, courtesy of Bob. That's a memory. That is more important than any gift. More important than any gift someone may buy me for my birthday on Sunday, which is July 20th, my 44th birthday. Listen, Legacy Box. Legacy Box is your gift, not just to you, to your mother, to your wife, to your husband, to your children, to your great-great-great-grandchildren who you will never meet. Digitize your home movies. Digitize those hard copy pictures. Those are memories you made. Keep them forever. Forever. LegacyBox.com/Jesse gets you 50% off. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Thursday. Before we get back to the emails, let's finish up the point. I was making the point about violent crime. And I've explained it many times before that the communist uses violent crime to destabilize the community, destabilize a country, create in your mind a feeling of fear and angst. And then once you're there, once you're desperate, I don't want to be hurt, then he comes in and he says, hey, just give me more power. Let me take over everything and you don't have to be afraid anymore. Jewish producer Chris made the comparison to the mafia, and it's almost identical to that. You show up, somebody's movie theater, you bash in all the windows of the movie theater, and you show up the next day and say, hey, I heard somebody bashed in your windows. Man, it's a bad neighborhood. Scary stuff. Scary stuff out there. If you pay me $500 a week, I can make sure nobody ever bashes in your windows again. Now, that's not just something in the movies. That's something that has happened and is happening as we speak. What if that's your movie theater? Been in the family for years. You can't afford to replace the windows every week. You're afraid. I've got to make the bottom line. I have to pay my mortgage, my wife, my kids. Christmas is coming up. $500. I can make that work. I want you to listen to this. This is the Minneapolis City Council. Now, remember what has happened in Minneapolis. In the wake of St. George Floyd dying of a drug overdose, they have destroyed that city, opened up the jails. The police department is practically empty. I believe they're at half strength, maybe a little bit more than half strength, but the cops won't even respond to most calls. There aren't even enough cops at this point in time. Businesses are vacating the city. The robbery, car theft is through the roof. It's a disaster. And maybe you've never been to Minneapolis. I've been quite a few times. Minneapolis was a great American city. And now the animals have taken it over. Listen very closely to Minneapolis's city council, pretty much explaining exactly what I just did.
How we can leverage every tool that we have at the city to make sure all of our residents have access to fresh, affordable produce. The research that we receive, again, is very exploratory. It provides examples of where other cities have stepped up to provide for food resources for their residents when there was an absence of a grocery store.
In the high crime areas, they're going to let the government take over the grocery stores, provide new grocery stores. Oh, I'm so sorry. Is crime really bad there? Have the grocery stores had to close up and leave? Man, that's a real shame. Anyway, you should probably let us take over everything so you can have groceries and be safe. This is how they've always done it and always will. Remember that. Jesse. Actually, this guy says Dr. Lady Hands. It's not very nice. The subject of this is, if your theory is true, then what happens next? If your theory is completely true, then Trump's only way out is through. Tell the truth, release everything you have authority over, explain you believe the files have been modified, then bunker down and ride out the storm. There's no master strategy. The truth will set you free. Okay, so Caroline Leavitt kind of touched on it a little bit today.
The president is referring to the fact that Democrats have now seized on this as if they ever wanted transparency when it comes to Jeffrey Epstein, which is an asinine suggestion for any Democrat to make. The Democrats had control of this building, the White House, for 4 years, and they didn't do a dang thing when it came to transparency in regards to Jeffrey Epstein and his heinous crimes. It was this president who directed the Department of Justice and the Attorney General to do an exhaustive review of all files related to Jeffrey Epstein, which they did. The Attorney General and the FBI, led by Pam Bondi, Dan Bongino, Kash Patel, these are great patriots, some of the most trusted voices in the Republican Party movement. It's part of the reason the president appointed them to these high law enforcement positions. And they spent many months going through all of the files related to Jeffrey Epstein, and they concluded what they found in that memo, which they drafted and they released. And so the president has been transparent. He has followed through on his promises to the American people.
Okay. She's not wrong about Democrats now calling to release it when they didn't before. Jamie Raskin was actually asked, why are you calling to release it now and you didn't before? He didn't have a good answer.
So, I mean, you have to go back and look specifically at particular prosecutorial decisions and what was taking place in terms of the other cases. So I don't know. We could try to reconstruct that record. But the point is that Donald Trump is the one who has led the crusade to say that that Epstein, who was his very close friend, and there's all kinds of pictures of them.
Okay. My theory, in case you missed yesterday's show, was that there's a bunch of bunk information in those files. Maybe some put there by the deep state after Joe Biden lost. Maybe some was there originally. Remember, we already know that originally there were all kinds of false accusations that got put in there with the real accusations. This is information that's been out there forever. We know all that stuff. That stuff's known. I have told you, and I believe, that Donald Trump's name is in there somewhere. No, I don't believe it's credible. I do not believe that there's anything Donald Trump did wrong with Jeffrey Epstein, just because we've never heard anything like that before. But I also believe that Trump thinks it's about to come out. And I think that's why he's been taking a very unpopular stance by prepping the ground and telling people it's not credible, it's a Democrat hoax, it's a Democrat hoax. You remember yesterday when I came on here and I told you, I think it's going to be leaked, get ready for a leak, get ready for a leak. Remember when I said that? Here's Mark Halperin from today.
Let me share something with you that everyone, I say that in air quotes, everyone I know knows, hasn't been publicly reported. Everyone I know believes a major newspaper, one of the top three newspapers in the country, is about to publish a piece about President Trump's relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. Okay. Everyone I know knows that. And people in the White House know that too. When that story drops, if it drops today, and some people think it might, it could drive the day.
Just listen to the old oracle. Think there's going to be a leak. Don't think Donald Trump did anything wrong. I think his very unpopular public stance, it's a hoax, move on, it's a hoax, move on, it's not credible, it's not credible, remember Comey, remember Ray. I think that was Donald Trump prepping the ground for a leak that he's going to have to explain. And what he's going to do when the leak comes out, he's going to say, hey, I told you it was a hoax. I told you this was all about the Democrats. I told you so. See, it's a lie. It's a hoax. Where we go from here, I don't know. That's what I believe. We'll see. I had not heard that yesterday when I said it. I just kind of felt it. Having listened to him say the same thing over and over again. And remember, Trump is a populist, and Trump knows what people want to hear. If Trump says something people don't want to hear, he stops saying it. That's why he stopped trying to sell you the vaccine on the campaign trail. He kept getting booed. The crowd would go silent, so he stopped saying it. Donald Trump came out when he first said, move on. This is dumb. This is stupid. We shouldn't even talk about this. You think he didn't hear everybody yelling at him about it? Trump has big ears. He heard. Yet he kept saying it. He kept saying it. He kept saying it. He kept saying it. Which begs the question, why? Because taking an unpopular stance and prepping the ground was more beneficial in his eyes than backing away from it. He wanted the message out there that it's not credible, that it's a hoax. Let's move on. We'll do some more emails. Before we move on, I need you to move on from Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. It's time to move on. It's time to stop giving corporations who hate you your money. I know that is difficult sometimes. It's very, very difficult for people who buy a car. My wife has been going through this when it comes to makeup. She doesn't wear a ton of it, but like any other woman, like any other American woman, she wears some. Good luck finding a makeup company that isn't a soulless demon. But when it comes to your mobile provider, you really should switch to Pure Talk. Not only do they make it easy, you get to talk to an American. They hire Americans. They don't hire click from some third world dump who you can't understand. I'm sorry, could you repeat that again? No more of that. A pleasant American you get to speak to on the phone. Why would you hire Americans? Don't you know you have to pay more? Because their CEO fought for this country in Vietnam, and America actually means something to the people who lead Pure Talk. Switch today. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Feeling a little stocky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. Man, we only have 1 hour left after this. That's too bad. But don't forget, you can email the show. Your love and your hate and your death threats all are welcome. But most importantly for tomorrow, email in your Ask Dr. Jesse questions to jesse@jessekellyshow.com. The show belongs to you tomorrow. Chris, before we get to the emails, I have an idea. And I think it's not going to be a bad one. Why do you say that before I even get it out? Listen, they have this thing called COP 30. COP 30, maybe you've heard this before. COP 30 is a climate conference. It's one of these big genocidal maniac climate change conferences. They do these things quite a bit. They did one hilariously in Dubai, like the land of oil, but they did a COP 30 conference. I just saw they're doing one down in Brazil, a COP 30 climate conference, where all these billionaires get together and figure out how to exterminate 4 to 5 billion people. Yeah, really lighthearted stuff like that. At this COP 30 conference in Brazil, they're renting out two cruise ships to use as hotels. So they do these COP 30 conferences in highly desirable locations, right? Brazil. I want to go to Brazil. Sounds tropical. I bet they have tacos or something. I bet the food in Brazil is delicious. They have all these cattle. I bet you can get amazing beef. Maybe take the wife down to the beach. I want to see Brazil. Chris, what if we started broadcasting from the COP 30 climate conferences and we'll sell the suits that it's good publicity for the show? What? It would be great publicity, but I wouldn't be invited. We could go undercover. You know how good I am at deep cover stuff. I'm not a giant. 6'8" is not a giant, for one. Two, blending in isn't about your height, Chris. It's about a mindset. When I want to disappear into the crowd like a shadow, I can. We could go broadcast from these. We'll sell corporate on that we're trying to do, I don't know, good publicity. But in reality, we're down in Brazil. I've always wanted to go to Brazil. I'm a little concerned about anacondas and stuff like that, but I've still always wanted to go to Brazil. What, Chris? What? They do have anacondas. Those things are horrifying. Have you ever seen those before? What? Chris said, I thought you were going to strangle it. Chris, I can't kill every wild animal with my hands, okay? I know you look up to me like a mentor, but there are only a few. Cheetahs, beavers, things like that. Anaconda? No, sir. No, sir. Jassy, I'd like you to spell out what our impending debt crisis looks like to the average plebeian like me. Maybe it should be emphasized to our politicians that this issue is a more important thing to us as a country instead of a far-off war 1,000 miles away. Paint a picture for us, please, of how the financial blow will impact us in a concrete way. Okay, so let me do this. A debt crisis, a debt crisis, a debt crisis. What does it look like? How much money do you make a year? Cut it in half. What's your standard of living look like? That's the most simple way I can explain it. What happens during a debt crisis is your standard of living drops dramatically as the value of your money drops dramatically. Even now, remember, we know that $100,000 of buying power back in 2020, you now need $124,000 to match that. You, no matter what you make, whether it's $24,000 or $224,000, you know your standard of living has gone down since COVID, hasn't it? And it's not gone back up. You can't afford everything you used to be able to afford. Normal people who live normal lives all know this. Life has gotten more expensive. Okay, that's a five-year window. You've seen a 24% decrease in your standard of living, the goods and services you are able to buy. Double that. Triple that. That's a debt crisis. You will wake up with however much money you make. Let's say you make $50,000 a year. I think that's pretty close to average, but whatever you make, doesn't matter. Let's say you make $50,000 a year. You know, you've been paying, you make the power bill, you make the rent, you're paying your car, take the old lady out to T-Bell every now and then. All of a sudden, you can't afford T-Bell anymore. You're wondering, you're looking, you're wondering, wait a minute, I can't afford insurance now? The insurance costs have gone up. I think we're going to have to move out of our apartment. The debt crisis, when it gets here, will result in a sudden drop in everyone's standard of living. It's unavoidable. Everyone's standard of living, and no one will escape it. Of course, if you're super wealthy, it won't be as bad when you have to go from living on $5 million a year to essentially living on $3 million a year. I don't expect you to cry for anybody who makes that kind of money, but it'll go down. But for normal people, for rich people, it'll be fewer vacations. For normal people, you have to move back in with your mother. Your car gets repoed. You have to take a second job. We look around and we don't appreciate, because we've never experienced this, we look around and we don't appreciate the fact that our standard of living is so high, but it is slowly but surely going down, 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 and no one wants to stop it. What I just said, this is why I'm not going to waste any time on it. I'm going to move on. It will never stop. Republicans don't want to cut a dime. Democrats, of course, don't want to cut a dime. They all just want to keep spending here and spending there. I want to do things, and we need this, and we need that, and we need this, and we need that. Well, we can't cut here, and we certainly can't cut there. And they're going to keep playing that we can't cut here, we can't cut there game until every single one of us, we look around and we say, when did I get poor? I can't afford life now. A debt crisis means for you, your standard of living drops in ways you can't imagine. You might have to give up your health insurance. That's the way it goes. It falls on deaf ears. Every time I bring it up, falls on deaf ears. It is what it is. I want to talk about something better. You know, we're going to need free things after the debt crisis. Nobody's going to be able to afford any kind of an education, so we'll definitely need Hillsdale then. Hillsdale College, they've been educating young minds for a very long time, and wherever they can, this is what I've always loved, they give out as much free wisdom as they possibly can. They have all these online courses. That's a big thing now. Hillsdale College is offering more than 40 of those online courses. No cost. Whatever interests you, ancient history, American history, the Constitution, the Bible, whatever piques your interest, Hillsdale College has something for you. Just go look at what they have. Go to hillsdale.edu/Jesse, because that's how you get it for no cost. Look at what they have. You will find something you can enjoy by yourself with your family. hillsdale.edu/Jesse. One more hour. We'll be back.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.